Welcome to GeekCast with your host, Todd Newton.
What inspired the name The Letter Black?
Well, we were actually called Breaking the Silence when we first started, but when we got signed to a record label, we did some digging and found out that there was a band called Break the Silence, and obviously it's very similar, so we couldn't be called Breaking the Silence, so they made us change the name, and we were searching. Pretty much all the good band names are taken nowadays, just because there are so many bands, and so we just were going through list after list, and everyone was throwing out ideas, and finally, somebody just threw out, okay, what about just the letter black? You know, it doesn't even matter anymore. Just, you know, just threw it out there, kind of on like a joke. And we were like, you know what? That's not half bad. There we go. Letter black. So, yeah, it just kind of got thrown out there and it stuck.
Can you describe the dynamic of touring, recording, and performing with your husband in the band?
Oh, it's awesome. Fortunately, we get along great. So it's nice to be able to hang out with a friend, basically, you know, and someone that you love. So it's really cool to be able to bounce at each other and to be able to have all these experiences together and to be able to travel the world and see everything. It's really nice. A lot of couples, you know, it's how was your day? How was your day? And that's their normal. But our normal is, oh, my gosh, it was so nuts today, wasn't it? Or that was a great show. Or hey, do you have a song idea? Or, you know, just, oh, check out this melody I thought of. Or it's really cool to be able to go through the adventure together.
Now, you have an autobiography in deal in place, correct?
Yes.
When will that see the light of day?
Yeah, I am not sure. It's been a work in progress, let's say. It's been slow going. We've kind of, it's funny, the book is developing as the band continues to develop and change and grow. And, you know, we just put out our third record. And so it's like we keep adding different things and changing stuff. So we aren't rushing it. We're not really worried about getting it out. You know, we're not on any time frame or any pressure, really, to get it out. So we're just kind of, not to say it's on the back at all, but it is definitely not a pressing issue for us. When we think of adding stuff, we add it and, you know, are kind of taking our time with it, I guess. We're not in a rush to get it out, so... It's up in the air as far as when it's going to come out, but we will definitely post information on it if it looks like it's going to be coming out anytime soon.
The songwriting hierarchy, is everything completely handled by you and your husband?
Yes. Yep. And mainly by Mark Anthony. He is definitely the genius behind the band as far as music goes and the recording. He writes, I mean, my goodness, he used to be a drummer. He actually got accepted into Berklee College of Music to play drums, which not many people know about. And so he has that background as well as the guitar. He obviously does bass. I mean, he does everything. And so being able to do that, he just, when he writes a guitar part, he hears the song complete in his mind already. So he's able to kind of lay down the track so that we can hear, the band can hear it, and then we'll be able to throw ideas in. And if anybody has any ideas, we are definitely open to it. But for the most part, Mark does all of the music. And then as far as melody and lyrics go, sometimes he has ideas, but most of the time he gives me the songs, and I'll come up with melody and then lyrics to it afterward. Now, on the flip side, if I have an idea vocally in my head, I'll lay it down on, you know, a little voice recorder thing, and I'll show him, and then he will write the guitar parts and then build the song around my idea. So it goes both ways, but it is definitely mostly he and I.
The group's obviously undergone quite a few lineup changes throughout the years. Has there been a consistent factor as to why that's happened?
You know what? People just kind of move on with their lives. Drummers, we've been through the most drummers out of all the different positions in the band. And it's time after time, it's someone got a job or someone doesn't want to tour anymore or someone is going to get married or, you know, it's life. Life keeps happening. And Mark and I are very, very flexible. We're very casual. We're not going to just quit the band because of lineup changes, you know. There's always musicians out there who want to play and who would love to be able to tour and be in a band. So, you know, we just keep our eye out for someone else. If someone says, hey, it looks like, you know, I want to be able to step away and pursue whatever it is. And, you know, we have really no bad blood at all with anyone, which is so nice. Everybody that's ever been in the band is just, everybody has been great. So it's been awesome to be able to actually be in a band with so many different great musicians. And it's been fun as well to see what each person brings to the table, because each musician has their own different flair. And so it's been really cool to be able to see how it kind of influenced the band, you know, at that time. So if you're a real, real kind of music nerd, you can hear things and how things are played different or whatever, but you have to really, really know your stuff to be able to pick it up.
Does the group have a permanent bass player at this point?
No, not right now. That's one who is getting married. So he just left last year, so we had someone filling in, and we still have someone who fills in here and there, but there's no member right now.
As far as the touring plans are concerned for Pain, where are you guys at right now?
Yeah, we are doing spot dates. We actually had a show last night, and we have a show tonight, and we have shows next week. So we have spot dates throughout the winter, and then we have a full tour a couple months long in March, or no, is it April and May? I think it is the end of March, so into April and May. So summer festivals, we're already looking at booking up and in talks with those, but nothing has been announced yet, so we get everything confirmed and laid out. But yeah, so we have shows on the books, and you could find that online, I'm sure, if people wanted to know the specific dates.
As far as the set list you guys are working with, are you trying to represent each record completely?
Yeah, when Pain came out, we actually were doing mostly songs off of the record, but now that it's been out a little bit of time, we're doing a lot from Pain, but we're also bringing in some of the singles that were off the first and second record, some of the more popular songs that fans enjoy as well. So we are doing songs off of all three records now. And like I said, it's mainly off the first and second record, it's mainly just the singles, the hits, or the most popular songs, most requested songs, especially live. So, but yeah, we are doing a lot off of the new record as well, just so that people can hear it if maybe they haven't picked up that record yet.
How well have the fans been receiving the material from Pain in a live setting?
Oh, my goodness, they love it. It's so funny because we have evolved into a heavier and heavier band over the years with each record. But consistently from the beginning, our fans have always, and it's never failed from day one, have always said when they see us live, they love the heaviest stuff. They just love the heavy stuff. And so that is also partially what's influenced us to go heavier each record, because our constant feedback from fans is they love the heavier stuff. So we listen, and we actually like heavy, so that helps that we're actually all on the same page. So, yeah, the fans absolutely love the new record.
Would the recording and release of Pain been possible without the Kickstarter program?
Oh, no way. We definitely needed the fans. I mean, the only way that you could do it is if you pay out of pocket, and, I mean, it's expensive stuff. you can do your own super cheap, but it won't sound good. So if you want a amateur version of a record, then you might be able to do it yourself. But if you want a professional recording, a professional mixing, mastering, professional artwork, you know what I mean? If you want to do it professionally, you need a budget to do so. And since we don't have that label anymore to kind of finance things, yeah, we definitely needed the support of the fans in the Kickstarter campaign so that we could afford to be able to do it.
How was the transition between Tooth and Nail and the EMP label group? Was it a difficult transition for you?
It was not too bad. There was a little bit of a pause from when we finally got off of Tooth and Nail. We actually were still in contract to do another record, and it just, they didn't want to invest the money into the new product like we did. We just had different goals in mind so we weren't on the same page with them. And so we asked that they let us go. And so after a while of negotiations, that took a little while, and that's actually why we stopped touring for a little bit, just until we resolved that issue. So they were nice enough, though, to let us go so that we could move on to do different things that we wanted to do. And so there was a pause from when we got off of there, and we kind of took a break and reevaluated, like, okay, where do we want to go? What the future to look like? What steps do we need to take to get there? And so we discussed it amongst ourselves and then started looking into labels, there's all kinds of different options nowadays, unlike before. Before, you just had to get on a label. That's it. That's the only way you could do it. Now, there's different deals that labels do. There's different setups that it's not like old traditional record label deals anymore. So we looked at all the options. We looked at different offers. We had several different people who did approach the band and asked if we would be interested in signing with them. So we weighed out all the options, and we finally settled on EMP because it's not a traditional deal. We're not actually really signed to the label like a big contract like we were Tooth and Nail. It's only a distribution deal. So what that means is they are just getting the product into stores, helping in that way to get the product to the fans. So it's been a great relationship so far.
Musically, what are your influences on a personal level as far as vocals are concerned? When I listen to each new release, I hear a lot of different influences coming through.
Yeah, well, and that's probably because I listen to a very, very wide variety of things. It's hilarious. Growing up, when I was obviously a kid, you know, I wasn't a metalhead. When I was little, I listened to a lot of more mainstream stuff. So I had a lot of just more pop influence, things like that. And then as I got older, I kind of started to get into... I worked my way into heavier stuff. So I liked more grunge, and I liked more punk rock. And then I kind of eventually got into the darker and the heavier stuff. So my influences are across the board. I mean, they are everywhere. But I would say influence, really, Alanis Morissette. And then early 2000s, I actually liked Avril, which is kind of funny. But Avril Lavigne was... She was an influence on me then. And, I mean, that's just two among a lot. I loved music in general. So I really did. I would sing along with anyone, you know. Like I said, from Kurt Cobain to, you know, Beyonce. You know what I mean? I have a love of music across the board. So my influences are a little bit everywhere.
Stay tuned for more Geekcasts from www.bigmusicgeek.com.